Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Steve Williamson.
Mike Cosentino.
Today we have Gary LeMaster. Gary's been on the show before. He's on the editorial board of Democratic Perspective.
And we use him hard.
Yeah, and
put
he's a serious researcher. He presented us with a, was it, 15-page paper on today's topic. We're going to be talking about Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious, a tiny little operation in Arizona run by seven guys in the ATF, got blown into this huge story.
That ended with, or at least led to, the Attorney General of the United States being held in contempt of Congress.
By the Republicans in the who dominate the House.
Party. It does make one think that it's political.
Yeah, it does seem to be political.
Especially in an election year.
Yeah, and the guy who led the charge was Daryl Issa. And Issa is reported, even before the administration took power, what did he say? First he said he was going to get them for climate gate, which I guess occurred in England. But he's been after getting them on something. He tried a whole bunch of different stuff, right, Gary? And none of it worked for him.
Daryl Issa is chair of the
Oversight Committee.
Oversight Committee.
Of the House.
Right, just to make.
Yeah, when the elections were finished in 2010, before he was installed as the chair of the Oversight Committee in the House, he went on record as saying he was going to make the Obama administration pay for all of its past sins. And so he started out with Solyndra.
Wait a minute, Gary. They hadn't even been in office yet.
Exactly. Right? And
it's hard to have past sins when you haven't been in office. But anyway, go on.
And so he decided that he was going to go after Solyndra and Fannie Mae, and there's a whole raft of things that he was looking at. All of them were, and hit for him, failures, because they found nothing of any consequence until they got to Fast and Furious.
And Fast and Furious, here's the way the story broke. The story broke was that the ATF, small group in the ATF, was letting guns walk to Mexico. They were tracking the guys. They were following the guys who bought the gun, but they failed to have any procedure to track the guns once they got into Mexico, that they were deliberately letting the guns go. The story gets broken by bloggers, and it gets broken by a group within this small team. And that's the story. The story is they're letting guns walk. Two of the guns are at the scene where a distinguished and border patrolman Brian Terry is killed in a shootout, probably with a rip gang who is trying to rob smugglers.
Right, and then our own state politicians start joining in the Fast and Furious.
And psychologically, people are saying the ATF or even Obama is a murderer because of this whole event.
That's right. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Now, what was under Treasury, now under Justice, the Departments of Justice, conjures up all kinds of images. But we're going to talk a little bit about their makeup today and how the local, the Phoenix 7, the Phoenix branch of the ATF plays in this.
It's a large organization, and you know, a lot of the money they spend is on labs that research fires and stuff. So there's an arson, an LDS church, right, Gary, down in Tolleson. And it's the ATF who does the extra work to find out whether it is arson or not when the local investigators can't tell.
But how do they figure politically? Let's go ahead and bring that up now.
Well, I would say that the ATF is the only law enforcement agency in the United States that has enemies and no political friends.
That's right.
Based on two incidents that are very famous, and there's some there's some reason for them to be held in some contempt for these. They did screw up at Ruby Ridge, they ended up killing a couple of innocent people and got some agents killed themselves, and then the Branch Davidian complex in Waco, where many children and you know family members died. There's lots of controversy over how that shootout started.
But that's the ATF.
We don't really know much about. The only ATF agent that I ever knew was undercover, I guess, and he was in international arms smuggling. He told everybody he was in import-export.
As Steve said, most of the ATF agents are kind of in the background. You don't hear much about the agency. It just investigates illegal gun sales and fires and things of that sort.
Right. But it has political enemies that none of the, you know, the FBI, for example, doesn't have. And the political enemies really are the NRA and Republicans.
That's right. But Fast and Furious was real and is real. I mean, it was a real program to try to stop guns from going over to Mexico.
Right. So we have this story, and it gets broken finally by CBS News. And the story is they're letting all these guns come on. One of the agents comes on. He's practically in tears about this terrible thing going on. They're letting these guns go, and then they're not really tracking them. Now, intelligence, frankly, folks, is a real nasty business. And doing something like this is intelligence hardball stuff. The problem is it never happened.
That's right, exactly. And the procedure was actually rather simple. I mean, and the only way it could happen, they find evidence on people who are buying, Americans who are buying lots of guns and selling them. And once they have enough evidence, then prosecutors are supposed to take over. And that's pretty much what Fast and Furious was. Simple story. Find guys that are buying lots of guns. We find evidence that it really looks like they're taking them to Mexico, and now let's indict them and find out what the story is, at least to stop the flow. Now, what happened to the prosecutions, Gary?
Well, I think it's good to start there and back up maybe just a little bit. Is the gun laws in Arizona are such that and they're not that different from a lot of other states, but the gun laws allow anyone to walk into a gun store with any amount of cash and buy as many guns of any type that they want. They can buy 100 assault rifles if they want at a time. They can then turn around because of the gun laws and walk out the door across the street to a parking lot, and without any restrictions, they can start selling those guns to other people. There is no in the stores. You have to pass a quick background check.
Yeah, if you have to be 18 years old and have no criminal record to buy the guns, that's it.
But if you want to sell them individually across the street, you can sell them to anyone without a background check. And you don't even have to check the ages.
The only time they can be seized easily is if they're going directly into Mexico. You catch a shipment. Mike was talking earlier to us about there was a whole tractor trailer filled with guns before this started. And once they're going into Mexico, it's illegal to have guns in Mexico, and you can stop them. It's an international trade violation.
The law states that you can't knowingly sell guns to be involved in a crime. So that's the key piece to indict and to make arrests, is that you have to find that these so-called straw buyers intended to sell them
for crime.
So when the Fast and Furious story breaks, we're sort of suspicious of it here because we live in Arizona and we know, and we know that there are thousands of gun dealers, and there's about 1,200 federally registered gun dealers. And if one gun dealer won't sell you AK-47, a next guy over will.
Right.
So we know that trying to stop that starts with being impossible and ends otherwise.
That.
But anyway, the story gets out there, walking these guns into Mexico. They're letting them go, and then they're not tracking them. They're not finding out where they end up going. And then, last week, there's an article in Fortune magazine. Fortune magazine is one of the largest business magazines in the United States. It's not exactly Mother Jones or some radical
you've heard of the Fortune 500. That's where it comes from.
These guys are focused on the top 1% of the 1%.
Yeah.
And they come up with an article. They have hired a woman named Catherine Aben, who's an award-winning investigative reporter. She spends 6 months in Phoenix and along the border. She interviews, what, almost 40 people and looks at 2,000 different documents, and she comes out with a very, very different story. So the story is they're letting these guns walk, and what she finds is all these emails from the ATF guys to prosecutors trying to get the guys who are buying the guns prosecuted, and the prosecutors won't prosecute them because they don't believe they have a good basis for it.
The name of the article, just for the record here, is The Truth About the Fast and Furious Scandal on June 27th in Fortune magazine, turn things around.
Some of the key facts are that this seven-person group called Group 7 of the ATF that was based in Phoenix had relationships with gun dealers, and the gun dealers would often call them if there was a suspicious sale or a large quantity sale. They would go investigate who had purchased them, and then they would go about tracking them. They had tracked thousands of weapons, and they had requested for indictments on straw buyers numerous times, and the assistant U.S. attorney in Phoenix refused to prosecute.
And so what she finds, right, Gary, is she finds a paper trail of the ATF trying to get these guys prosecuted and them not being prosecuted. So if they're walking guns, why are they doing this? Also, she finds out they've actually seized a bunch of guns. So if they're trying to walk guns into Mexico, why are they seizing some of them? And why are they trying to get the guys who are buying them indicted? Makes no sense. That's her version.
And there's one really bizarre incident. There's actually several of them, but one stood out to me. Was that they were tracking one mass buyer of guns, and they went through his garbage outside his home, and they found that he had purchased $300,000 worth of guns within a 6 month period, but he was living on food stamps. He had no source of income.
He didn't have any gun stamps.
There were no stamps there. I don't think you buy those in Bash's or Safeway yet.
So Aben's article really turns things around. It says essentially the whole story that got out is not really true.
That's it.
Not really accurate.
Yeah.
And I should point out with that incident with the food stamp guy is that they tried to prosecute him, and the assistant U.S. attorney, even in that instance, refused to indict because the guy had technically not broken any laws.
Right. We must say in here that it is illegal for anyone to have a gun in Mexico unless you're with the military or the police.
That's right. And so international law allows you to seize the weapons if they're going into Mexico, but you have to catch them actually going in. And it is true that the Obama administration started trying to interdict guns going into Mexico in a much more radical way. Remember, the Fast and Furious is part of a much broader operation, Operation Gun Runner, which gets going in 2006, focused in Texas during the Bush administration. It's one variation on that thing. The problem with stopping guns is there's so many going across. The good side of it is when you hear an article, $1 million worth of marijuana seized, that's the street value of the marijuana. That's the opportunity lost. And the cartels lost the opportunity to sell $1 million worth of marijuana when it's seized. That's not the cost to the cartel.
Yes, $10,000.
If you can, yeah. They paid the guys who farmed it $2,500. The guys who smuggled it to the border $50,000. The guys who get it across another $50,000. It's not a huge loss to them. If you can seize their money or you can seize the guns that they're paying a premium for, it takes a bigger dent out of the cartel, just as a practical thing.
I think to put this in perspective too, we have to look at the outcome of the illegal gun trafficking, that between 2006 and the beginning of the investigation or the hearings on Fast and Furious, The U.S. had, the ATF in particular and Border Patrol had intercepted 68,000 weapons or guns going into Mexico. And in the same length of time, there were over 47,000 deaths in Mexico as a result of gun violence. This in a country that outlaws guns.
And since 2006, ATF has brought 1,100 criminal cases, indicted basically 2,500 defendants, and seized 1 million rounds of ammunition, for example. So it's not like they're trying not to do this, at least not in general.
Getting back to Fast and Furious, the Gary's notes here, Gary's research here reads like the outline for a movie. I mean, I can see this. This maybe not a blockbuster, but it certainly would be a nice Saturday night thing over here at Harkins. But we want to talk about kind of a fractured workplace, which isn't that unusual. The ATF office in Phoenix had their differences. They
were broken into two factions, right, Mike?
That's right. The Sunshine Bears and the Renegades, they call themselves. The Sunshine Bears being the supervisor, David Voth. And some others, and the Renegades being at least led by James Dodson.
And it's the Renegades. Now, the only person who bought, that we know of at this point, who bought weapons and sold them to a supplier who was going to ship the weapons to Mexico is actually Dobson. The Renegades who were out there selling, moving the marker toward a more proactive way, and their ideas, and they're the guys who go complaining in the end.
That's right.
The straight lace guys were responsible for all.
So the whistleblower, who was so outraged that his boss was allowing guns to walk, it turns out his boss wasn't allowing guns to walk, and the whistleblower let three guns get out of sight. He purchased them, gave them to another guy. Those three guns were lost. They lost track of them while the whistleblower had gone on vacation. So the irony to me is that here's this guy who seems so outraged and has approached real right-wing bloggers to bring down his boss, is the only guy who actually was responsible for allowing guns to walk.
I think one thing I like about Aben's story, folks, and we do recommend you go and look at the original. It's a long story, but it's well worth reading, is that she doesn't really understand how this fight began in this small group, why there's so much animosity. What she finds is references to one guy has a loud Godzilla sound every time he gets an email. And when they ask him to turn it down or try some other email noise, he refuses.
Yeah, this is office stuff. We're all experienced with
that. And the Renegades were upset, according to Aben's story, were upset by Voth's or the director's by-the-book approach.
Yeah, and you note in your thinker, Voth was ATF Outstanding Law Enforcement Employee of the Year in 2009 for dismantling two violent street gangs in Minneapolis, where he could get a wiretap on people he was investigating fairly easily. But when he tried to get a wiretap in Arizona on gun,
it takes them months.
Mass
to get a
gun
wiretap.
Purchasers.
They're tracking these guys, buying the guns. They're trying to get the wiretap. The wiretap, it's just delayed. We don't know why. And Aben Tour doesn't know why either. She doesn't speculate when she doesn't come up with facts. What she has is a tremendous amount of email. For example, here's Dobson to his supervisors. They ask him. He sells the guns when Voth's not in the office, and Voth asks him to voucher the whole thing. And he replies, "Do the orders define a day? Is it a calendar day, a business day, or a work day, an Earth day? Because a day on Venus takes 243 Earth days, which would mean that I have plenty of time."
Well, now let's, guys.
If you did this in the Army, do you know how quickly your butt would be in the brig?
Well, no supervisor would put up with that for very long. But we started here with Holder's contempt charges. The big news was the Attorney General was found in contempt. How did Fast and Furious, how did this gun thing in Arizona lead to the contempt charges and the conviction?
If we go back to the story, the story is that this group gets very frustrated because the U.S. Attorney's Office won't prosecute, and they keep intercepting the guns. Finally, three of them walk as a result of the whistleblower Dobson's.
That's the U.S. Attorney in Arizona. Just keep it straight here. We're trying to get the U.S. Attorney in Arizona to prosecute. Go ahead.
That's right. And at some point, the ATF sort of shops prosecutors. They look for a prosecutor, anybody who will prosecute these guys. They go to Terry Goddard, who's the Arizona Attorney General, and they try to tell him that they just can't get any prosecution. And he says, basically, and I don't have the quote right in front of me, he says, yeah, I don't understand what they're doing. They're making you dot the I's and cross all the T's, and they're putting a whole lot of restrictions in getting indictments.
So they come up against this brick wall, and then finally Dobson lets these guns walk, and then he blows a whistle to get it back at his boss, and the story gets picked up by CBS and the bloggers first, then CBS, and it gets blown way out of proportion. ISA gets in place the committee, and he's investigating it. Meantime, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa was contacted by the bloggers, and he puts forward a bizarre theory. I've seen UFO conspiracy theories that are more credible than this. He puts forward a theory.
This is Sedona, Gary, so you know, we have lots UFO of those theories.
He puts forward a theory that Fast and Furious, that ATF allowed guns to walk so that the violence would occur, so it would get blown up, and then there would be this big outcry to change the gun laws and to restrict the sale of guns across America, and that was the ultimate reason for Fast and Furious.
So they were just nipping the Obama administration in the bud to keep them from passing any restrictive
laws.
Well,
at most, we're talking about 2,000 guns that they were monitoring that may or may not made their way into
Mexico. Even though there's absolutely no evidence to support this.
Correct.
Okay. The Mexican government estimates that 2,000 guns go across the border every day. So we're talking about a number of guns that couldn't possibly affect anything. You know,
so then let's talk real briefly. When we get into the congressional hearings, ATF was spun off from Treasury back in 2003, I believe.
I think so.
They've had acting directors since they were spun off into their own unit. The reason they've not had a full-time director is that the NRA has blocked every nomination of the Bush administration and of the Obama administration.
And they haven't had an increase in their budget, which is large. They have the labs and do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different agents doing a lot of different things.
They have 5,000 agents.
Yes, and they haven't had a budget increase since 1972. And this is with all the terrorism and their expertise in fires and explosives. So they've had their budget frozen since 1972. So somebody doesn't like them in a serious way.
Just like public education, for God's sakes.
So this headless organization that reports to the Justice Department, which is again another large department. They bring Holder in and ask him about Fast and Furious, and Holder says that he doesn't know anything about letting guns walk. Well, he shouldn't know anything about it because there was no plan to let guns walk.
Right.
But what happens is this thing gets steamrolled. And at the first,
Brian
first,
Terry dies.
First, the department comes out and they say, well, this really didn't happen. But then it's remember the Shirley Sherrod thing where one of the bloggers takes a statement that makes her look like she's a racist, which she's exactly saying the opposite thing, and they fire her before they even find out the fact. What happens here is the Justice Department gets scared. They have Brian Terry's mother denouncing them. They have this massive congressional attack on them, and they sort of seem to back down. And admit that guns were walked. Of course, Dobson, I guess, apparently did walk some guns. And so they begin to sort of back down. And a lot of the criticism is, you know, Halder says he didn't know anything about Fast and Furious until a few weeks earlier. And then he has to retract that statement because he has heard about Operation Gunwalker 6 weeks earlier. It's That's nonsense. Right. It's petty stuff, right, Mike?
He provides 7,600 documents to Congress. He goes to ISA, asks him, what do you want to see that I can't show you by law? I can't release documents, but I can show you in private anything you want to see. And none of this was good enough for ISA because they were going to have their political
They were going to have their political shot. This was the only ISA's extremely ambitious man. I believe he tried running for president. He's run for Senate and governor in California. This is his shot at fame and fortune. And I frankly think he's an extremely unscrupulous guy.
And many of these documents that were requested would be illegal for Holder and the Justice Department to release them, because many of them involve wiretap information and ongoing criminal cases that, if they were made public, would be absolutely illegal. So to get around that, Holder agreed to meet in private with ISA, which he did on numerous occasions, to try to head off this big political witch hunt.
The documents they're looking for are only documents that occurred after the operation had stopped.
Correct.
And so they're not trying to subpoena. They've gotten all the documents that actually go back to what happened with the operation. But they continue. What they want is to prove there's a giant conspiracy. And what they want is the internal documents where people are discussing what's going on.
Well, that's it. But an important point is that the people didn't. Our people, the Arizona people, didn't appear in those documents. David Voth, head of the ATF in Arizona, Phoenix Division, was never interviewed by a congressional committee. Neither were any of the people who originated the tactics of Fast and Furious under the Bush, of the gun running.
And what Evan says,
under the Bush administration.
Says even more shocking is that the Justice Department, in trying to defend and explain the operation, never talked to the other side of the guys involved either.
We will mention that there's a dozen Democrats that also voted for it, by the way.
Well, they're Blue Dog Democrats. They're in areas where the NRA can make all the difference whether you win or
just
not.
Just trying to be clear.
They're conservative pro-gun Democrats, and they voted for it out of fear because it would be indexed by the NRA.
And it's the first time in history that a sitting member of the cabinet of an administration has been found in contempt for no reason. That's the thing I'd like to point out. The other thing I'd like to point out is that 47,000 deaths in Mexico as a result of U.S. gun laws. Reverse that situation and think that 47,000 Americans die because of bad laws in Mexico or Canada. That's like how many 9/11s, you know, every year. It's like two 9/11s every year.
This is a whole other topic, but I had a guy talking the other day. He said, you know, if we're going to have all these gun laws and everybody should have a gun, then let's get rid of the police. I mean, the Second Amendment was written when there were no police and you couldn't not.
And the guns were muskets.
Yeah, so
and there was a militia instead of an army.
And let's not waste billions of dollars on police. Let's get rid of those guys, and then everybody has a gun, and we just protect our stuff.
And I'm not against gun ownership. I own guns myself. I just don't carry them.
Yeah, I own guns too. So
I'm former military. I love things that go boom. If we're going to declare our allegiance to guns, I'm
a former NRA member myself.
All this full disclosure stuff here.
Next week. We're going to talk about Romney's money. We're going to talk about what
election year hijinks,
and what private investment firms, private equity firms, actually do. You hear this like sunny side story about what they do, how they improve other companies, how they're creating jobs, and we'll look at just
we're going to find Romney's
stuff.
Money next week.
Yeah. And we're going to have IRAs that are as large as Romney's, over $100 million in
okay,
IRAs.
We'll talk about that.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.